On the topic of those tariffs, there was already, of course, this week, the significant US U-turn following the bond market reaction to the tariffs. Yesterday saw another U-turn, this time specifically with China, because the US Customs and Border Protection Agency has said that a list of items are going to be exempted, not just from the 145% tariff that applies on Chinese imports, but to the 10% baseline tariff as well. And they include things like optical coupled isolators, semiconductor based transducers, electronic integrated circuits and parts thereof, or in layman's terms, smartphones, laptops, hard drives, flat panel monitors, and an awful lot of computer chips. With us is Amy Hawkins, who is senior China correspondent with The Guardian. Amy, how will this be viewed as China? Is this capitulation?
Yeah, I think in China, it's very much viewed as further sign that, you know, Trump has talked a big kind of aggressive game on this tariff front. But even when he backed down with the tariffs for the non-China countries, that was seen as somewhat of a capitulation because it makes it much easier for Chinese exporters to continue to ship their goods to China via third countries. And then this again is another sign that, you know, American consumers and the American public are going to feel the pain much before the Chinese public does, and that Trump is going to have to react to that.
What's the sense you get about the Chinese administration's commitment to this being a long-term fight, and what do you think are the tactics they are considering?
So I think from the moment that China first imposed retaliatory tariffs on US imports, it became clear that of the two strategies of not engaging with the trade war or trying to match Trump's tariffs, you know, Beijing was definitely choosing the latter. And now it's chosen that path. It's not going to veer down. You know, the government doesn't want to be seen as weak. It doesn't want to be seen as doing U-turns. So even though the tariffs, you know, will still cause a lot of economic pain to China, I think the government is calculating that China is willing to bear it, and obviously doesn't have the same kind of democratic pressure as America does of making the public very unhappy when the economic pain does come.
What sort of political pressure does it feel?
I mean, the economy is still important, but I think part of the pressure now is showing that that China can't be bullied by the US and wanting to show, you know, there's a very prominent narrative in China that China has endured a century of humiliation at the hands of the West and by the British and then by the Americans, that the Americans are hell-bent on kind of keeping China down because it can't bear to have a Asian country increasing in power. And so that narrative has been established for some time in China. And so I think the pressure on the government is that it can't be seen to be capitulating to what it described as American bullying.
That century of humiliation, of course, included one of the big issues within it was the multiplicity of treaties with Western countries imposed on China that forced what they saw as deeply unfair and exploitative economic imbalances between the West and China, which I assume this current iteration is seen as another instance of the same.
Yeah, indeed. And also, obviously, with the 100 years of humiliation, it is also tied to the opium wars when the British Empire kind of flooded the Chinese market with opiates. And then that now has a parallel in today's situation with the fentanyl crisis in America, which Trump is blaming China for and says the tariffs are partially in response to that. And what's one of the many countermeasures that Beijing has threatened or is thought to be under consideration is completely suspending cooperation on fentanyl control between China and the US.
Which of those do you think is likely? Because if China is both culturally, sort of morally and ethically deeply committed to not buckling in the face of American pressure, there's questions about what it will do with the amount of American debt that it holds and what influence it may have on the bond market. As you say, there's the fentanyl crisis and what restrictions may be lifted there. What are the likely suite of measures you think will come into play?
Well, we've already seen, you know, incredibly high counter tariffs from from the Chinese side. And I think, you know, given that they've now reached more than 100%, you're kind of in the world of, it's not really a trade policy issue anymore, it's a political policy issue. And so that's on one hand. I mean, they've also said that they're going to restrict the import of Hollywood films. They weren't allowing many Hollywood films to be released in China anyway, but they're bringing that number down from 10 to just a handful. They've imposed export controls on certain US companies, put sanctions on certain US companies. And I mean, yeah, there's still more that, I mean, any further measures, there is still a downside for China, and it will cause pain to Chinese consumers and the Chinese economy. But, you know, they could further restrict the import of US goods. They could do they could stop Chinese students going to America. They could prevent Americans from coming to China. I mean, the list goes on, because we've left the economic space now and we're kind of in a political fight.
What then, lastly, Amy, about the relationship between China and the other countries facing similar economic action from the States, whether that be the EU, whether that be Canada, whether it be countries across Asia and Southeast Asia? What's the plan and intent, do you think, in relation to trying to form tighter allegiances with those countries?
Yeah, so China definitely sees this as an opportunity to form tighter allegiances, because it's trying to put forward the narrative that, you know, those countries are also being bullied by the US. And Xi Jinping is going to Southeast Asia this coming week, where he'll be trying to make the case that those countries are better off staying within the Chinese sphere of influence. China's a much more stable partner. China supports free trade, at least more than the US does. And given the kind of chaos of US politics at the moment, it's kind of the US is kind of making that case on China's behalf.
Amy, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Amy Hawkins, who is Senior China Correspondent with The Guardian.